You're listening to Offbeat Music Box. I'm Carol K, and I'm
Simone. Hello.
How are you today, Simone?
We're here. Interesting things happened during the week. Earthquakes.
Earthquake. Just yesterday, actually.
This is the second one.
Second one in this month. But then there were like four other ones.
And they keep saying yesterday. The big one's coming. Do you believe that?
I do.
So what are we going to do, man? Are you prepared?
No, I'm not prepared. I've been here for almost 7 years and I'm still very much ill prepared.
Yeah. You're supposed to have a backpack with tuna, water. We're going to have a beautiful one. Oh, there's a beautiful closer to this one, guys.
Yes, for sure. This is going to be a good show. I'm excited about this show. And this show's topic is...
Drum roll, please.
Ghostwriters. Why is it such a taboo in hip hop?
Right. Why is it such a taboo? I mean, we know it happens in R&B quite frequently from our Beyoncés. Beyoncé had a ghostwriter for a beautiful song. Who's the ghostwriter, Carol?
Was it Neo for that one song?
To the Left?
Yeah.
Right. Amazing song. He did a version, his own version. She did a version. When I first heard that To the Left, I was like, that's just fucking rude. She just kicked you out, man. Your shit.
Ghostwriting happens in a lot of different things. It happens in all genres of music. It happens in all, you know, forms of media. But why is it such a taboo with hip hop? You know, we had a pre-discussion about this, and there's this whole distinguishment between like entertainers versus writers, and then there's this whole distinguishment between a rapper, what is a rapper versus an MC or a lyricist.
MC, yeah.
There are differences. And I think that's where, you know, we have that, the taboo comes in.
Right. So, I mean, with rappers, they're rappers. I would not disrespect them and call them actors, but they are like a vessel. Like, they're portraying a certain lifestyle, right? Whatever's maybe hip at the time. Maybe some rappers want to go in a direction of being a comical rapper. Some people want to be crack rappers. They might have different ghostwriters. Somebody might be good at that. You know what I heard too? There's a few rappers. I won't name them, but they actually would interview crack dealers and their lifestyle. Known kingpins in different cities. They didn't even go to Rikers Island. And no one knows about this stuff. And then those rappers would take notes down, or their people would take notes and then bring that to life with another writer who would kind of write. It's like having two authors write one book.
That's insane. That's their research, huh? So they're right. Not even... And I think that's probably one thing that makes it so taboo for hip-hop is like a lot of the time it's the idea that this whole art form comes from a lifestyle, not necessarily just an artistic expression, but it's like you think that they've
lived
this stuff.
And that's what I'm saying. Like it's a lifestyle, but is it their lifestyle? And a lot of times it's not their lifestyle. You find out they went to high school and damn near went to college, and most of the time they played basketball throughout high school. Yeah. When do they find time to have this criminal lifestyle and this criminal element? We know people that are hustlers and thugs, and that takes a lot of your time. You know what I mean? That's like a full-time job. Yeah. Where do you find time to do all the fun shit in your life?
The rest of the time, you're paranoid. But you know what?
Yeah.
That makes me think of, and we didn't even talk about him, but it made me think of this whole rumor with Jermaine Dupri back in the day.
Yeah.
Where they always used to talk about him and his silver spoon status and him trying to talk like he's been through it.
Lil Jon was also another one that was kind of a silver spoon.
I mean, nothing pretty wrong privileged. With that, and nothing wrong don't with claim that. It. Don't pretend
right.
to
Especially
have,
when you're trying to be
struggle,
really hood,
you know?
The struggle and hood rap and grew up rough. Yeah. And then you kind of find out later through research that wasn't really what was going on in your life at the time.
It makes you feel like, damn, you're a con artist.
Bamboozled, man. I mean, we want our music. Look, if the government's lying to us, I'm not trying to get all crazy, but if the government lies to us or the news lies to us, at least our music can be as truthful as possible. That's what we go to music to find, that outlet of truth. We feel our music, man. I don't listen to music with an empty mind. Like, I just take it in like it's some TV show. Music's supposed to be from the heart. So when I hear rappers who you think their music is just mind-blowing and it's life-changing, then you find out they didn't have anything to do with writing it, nor is that who they are or ever been.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking, man.
It is heartbreaking.
Carol, what's the difference between like a rapper and a lyricist, an MC?
I had this discussion with my brother, and he's really, really big on this stuff and very knowledgeable. And he said something, and I'm going to channel what he said, you know, because I can't take credit for this. And it's really interesting how he compared a rapper as to being more of the entertainer, somebody kind of a puppet. That's not his words, but that's my interpretation.
Right.
But more of the person on the surface entertaining.
Yeah.
But for an MC or a lyricist, because there's this whole status quo about I'm the best, I'm this, you know, there's this whole entitlement where once you find out they've been ghostwritten, loss of integrity,
right,
is what this whole revelation of ghostwriters would do to somebody who calls himself a lyricist in hip hop.
Yeah.
Versus a rapper, like I said, it's just like, you know, people write for each other all the time and you're just entertaining. It's just, it's, you know, it's not this whole thing where you claim, because like we said earlier, rappers kind of, it's just a facade type thing.
Yeah.
And then lyricists, you know, they claim it to be a lifestyle. So when that's revealed that a lyricist has a ghostwriter, that really does ruin them.
And, yeah, it ruins it. And unfortunately, it's very hard to prove when someone who is known for their musical capability and writing a lot of their music at the beginning of their careers, then they get into this contract where they're like pressured to make 15 songs on an album every year. Maybe their ideas aren't coming. Maybe they haven't been through enough because they're so rich. You got to think about it. These guys are rich. They might not know what life, when they were broke when they made these albums. You know, like a Nas, that first album, you can just tell he just came from the streets. And that was a classic album. It's hard to duplicate classic when you grew up and you lived and breathed hip hop. Now you're making millions of dollars and you're in a limo. You're not in a Ford Focus anymore. You're not in a Ford Taurus. You're in a limo and you're detached. You know what I mean? So it's like, wow, how do we get creative again? I got to go back to Queens.
Yeah. It's almost that the struggle, it's a necessary evil.
It's
in everything. Yeah. In everything in life, I think. You know, it's a good contrast.
Totally. But you have to go through it to experience it or to be able to talk about it and connect with your fans.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Nas, he is somebody that's going to come up in this topic.
That's right.
So let's get into our first person.
All right.
You know,
let's
why
do it.
Not? Yeah. It's for this first person we want to talk about, we're going to go ahead and just start with the obvious. And for some people, maybe some people like me, as much as with all due respect to this man, I just don't really consider him much of a hip hop artist. We're talking about Will Smith.
Will Smith.
And how he's been ghostwritten for, which is probably no surprise to a lot of people.
Right. For him to be this blockbuster actor, he was definitely started off as a rapper. We knew him as a rapper.
Right, exactly.
He had that Freddie. But I was a big fan of Will Smith back in the day.
Right.
Before he was even an actor, when I was a little kid, because he was entertaining.
Yeah.
Automatically, he was like an actor within his music. Hmm. Parents just don't understand. That's you could just, his videos were comical.
That's
you know what I mean?
That's interesting that you say that. He's an actor within his music. Because
his music.
It kind of goes back to the whole vessel thing that we're talking about. Like essentially, some of these, the way they channel the artist who actually wrote for them, makes it seem as though they are essentially just acting, playing a role.
I almost thought within his music that he wasn't, I didn't even consider him a rapper when he was known as a rapper.
See, me too.
But I'm almost wondering if he even wrote his earlier shit.
That's a good observation. One of his earlier songs is Summertime. Do you remember that joint?
I remember that, yeah.
So we're going to play the song and then we'll come back and let you know who wrote it.
So this is Summertime and it came out in the early 90s. Not to cut you off, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Summertime, early 90s.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Here it is, a groove slide. Transform, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it.
Set Summertime by Will Smith. Simone, tell me.
Okay.
Pull out the cadence.
So if you listen to his song compared to any other song Will Smith's ever done, his cadence, he pauses. He goes, here it is, a groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm. Listening to that, his pausing, it's a beautiful song. Like, I understand why I like that song now. It's because he didn't write it. Rakim wrote that, and he is a lyrical genius. And in that moment in time, Rakim had a hit album and a song called Don't Sweat the Technique. Now, if you really listen to it, his cadence is undeniable to that cadence of Will Smith in this Summertime verse. So it's weird because you're going to hear Will Smith later and his different cadences throughout each song. And it's just interesting that he's not even trying to really fool us.
Right.
Wouldn't you try to fool us a little bit?
I think that is part of the...
Or just being bold.
Masterful... pull off is that, you know, we don't realize it. We don't.
We're really,
so passive.
We don't. And who listens to music like that? You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
and hey, I think hope you do now because it's ruined it for me.
It's ruined it. Exactly.
It's ruined it so much for me. Let's play that Rakim.
All right, let's
just
play
so
the Rakim.
Our audience can get a little comparison.
Okay.
Let's trace the hits and check the file. Let's see who bit the dot, check the style. I flip the script so it can't get filed. At least not now. It'll take a while. I change the pace to complete the beat. I drop the bass to MCs, get weak for every
trace is a scar they keep. Cause when I speak, they freak to sweat the technique. I made my debut in 86 with a melody and a president's mix. And now I stay on target and refuse to miss.
So that was Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique. So if you listen to his cadence, it's different because he says something and then he'll pause and then go into the next one. And he does it in a way where you're like, wow, he can just flow and use his lyrical capability in a way that no one else could do. Perfect guy to recruit for a summertime song. And Rakim not necessarily does this party type of music that Will Smith did. He didn't do a summertime song ever. Rakim never did a song like that. He was more about...
Was he more of a lyricist or MC?
Definitely more of a lyricist and MC, his subject matter was totally different. So that's why it would throw you off, like Rakim.
And then you see Will Smith, you go, he's a rapper.
He's a rapper. And so right? You don't even put those two together. Like, wow, how do they even connect? But I'm sure Will Smith has a lot of money. He has a lot of contacts, man. That's the perfect dude to get to write a number one song. Mm-hmm. That album probably sold millions, right?
I don't even know. That Summertime? Yeah, but I mean, that was such a hot song for the summer. It still plays today, spins today, because it's just so relevant to the summertime. Has a good feel to it. It's not a bad song. I enjoy it.
And if a rapper gets paid, I mean, it's hard to say no, because that doesn't ruin your integrity as a lyricist. Because I was wondering, like, what would Rakim say? Like, if you're true to your craft, why would you write? But I guarantee you, those checks, that check made more than probably an album Rakim ever did.
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's not even that the ghostwriters themselves who lose credibility, right. It's more the ones in the forefront who's claiming this to be their own. That's really what's bothersome to me.
Right.
But, you know, so Rakim, I understand, you know, as an artist and all this other stuff, you kind of take on different roles and you do different things. You're behind the scene, you make things happen.
Right.
But when you're in the forefront claiming it to be yours, and it's just, that's a whole other thing.
After all these years, I never knew until we sat down and did this episode that you can completely tell.
You can hear it, right?
You can hear it now. In the voice and everything.
Yeah, like, we can go on and on about Rakim because he's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But let's play another one of Will Smith's, because I think everything Will Smith has done in the music industry is clearly, I think it's written by somebody else.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that, because it's not like he's, you know, he's an entertainer.
Yeah, exactly. Know? That's the first thing.
But let's compare this other song, Getting Jiggy With It.
Okay.
Let's play this one, and then we'll come back and let you know who wrote it.
Sounds good. Honey, come ride. DKNY, all up in my eyes. You got a Prada bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your friend, let's spin. Hey, by looking at me, glancing at kid. Wishing they was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid. Sick a cigar right from Cuba Cuba. I just bite it. It's for the look, I don't light it. They'll wait to hand me on the hand, stay on play. So that was Will Smith, Getting Jiggy With It. And, he is really lyrical in the beginning of that. It starts off kind of slow, but then he starts talking about Cuban cigar. And you
might
had mentioned...
Might as well say Escobar.
You might as well say Escobar, because he wrote that shit. It is a bottom line known fact that you can just tell.
Cuban cigars written by Escobar. But anyways, yes, that was written
by... She loves that verse, too. He probably just found him in the phone book. They're probably friends. And he was like, dude, I got this song, Getting Jiggy With It. I need some lyrics, man. Help me out. Man.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I think we should play another Nas, or just play a Nas song.
Just so you can.
Because it's so clear.
Yeah, definitely. You never know what's next. Ancient kings from Egypt up to Julius Caesar had a piece of the globe, every continent. Yo, this Asia, Africa, Europe, France, Japan, Pakistan, America, Afghanistan. Yo, this Protestants, Jews, Blacks, Arabics, call a truce, world peace, stop acting like savages. No war, we should take time to think. The bombs and tanks makes mankind extinct. But since the beginning of time, it's been men with arms. So that was Nas, great song, and I felt like Will Smith again took on this man's essence and presence, as well as his cadence, and I think he does this really well, by the way. I think this is what makes him a great actor.
Yeah, I think so too.
He did this in another movie where he took on somebody's actual persona.
Yeah, he does that in all his films. Like, you can kind of see he's very talented, Will Smith,
right,
for being able to channel, to kind of slide into the role and be that person.
What was that movie that he did? Totally.
He did Ali.
Yeah.
Which he... you know, took on the role of Ali, like, very well. He became, like, he can just become this person. And I think that's part of what great actors do,
right,
or great entertainers do, now that we're seeing that this kind of happens in music, too, clearly, right?
You can just emulate someone so well.
Yeah, it seems like it would be obvious, but I think in music, we often don't consider it to be role-playing,
dude,
so to speak.
That's
and
perfect.
I think that's why it's such a surprise.
Yeah.
But Will Smith is a perfect example of that crossover and that this is simply just an entertainer. We like Will Smith, and right. You know, not coming down on Will Smith at all, but just to kind of give you a little example of
that
the people behind the material and how the people in the forefront just channels that, and we don't even realize it. It's kind of a strange puppeteering type of thing. Puppeteering
is a good
esque,
word.
I guess. I don't know, maybe. But
or Escobar.
Yeah. Escobar.
Escobar.
I love it. All right. So I think...
shout out to Will Smith. He's got enough money. So if you want to pick up his albums, you just can make them.
For sure. Nas and Rakim too. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, we're not going to go into Nas, but we did hear some rumors about him too having a ghostwriter of his own.
Right.
So, you know, we don't have credible source for that and we don't want to talk about it. But if you guys know anything, anybody out there knows anything, send us an email, offbeatpod, P-O-D, short for podcast, @gmail.com. And let us know, and we'll talk about it.
Hit
we'll
us up, man.
Episode.
If you got some inside scoop on Nas, man, let us know.
Yeah, like it would be very interesting to see the layers of.
They interviewed the people that were allegedly ghostwriters for the album, the N-word album.
Uh-huh.
And they interviewed the two, the group, right? I don't know if you want me to even say the group, but they looked at each other and they're like, because you don't discredit a legend like Nas. So
right.
I'm sure they wrote. And then got hush money on top of that. Like, dude, don't ever tell anybody shit about what I did.
It's crazy. It gets deep and it gets messy.
It gets deep. And it gets hard. It's hard. Like, we're going to get into some other artists that will just tell you in their face, yeah, I got ghostwriters.
Yeah. Which, actually, let's talk about him now.
All right. Let's do it.
The next guy. P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
Papa Diddy Pop. Sean P. Diddy Combs. Whatever. He's gone by, like, so many different aliases.
By so many. I thought he's going to be called Biggie Jr. At some point, he's going to be called Biggie Jr., but you get shot for something like that, man.
Shoot.
So, P. Diddy Combs, man, this guy is a hot mess when it comes to writing his own music. And you don't want this man to write his own music, by the way, or you'll fall asleep.
Which is interesting that you say that, because even with him having ghostwriters, and it's probably one of the most obvious, too, it still sounds like... No offense to...
I know you're going to go with this.
No offense to anyone, okay? Even when you listen to P. Diddy's stuff, you kind of go, oh, that's whack.
Yeah, you still do.
Then somebody wrote that for him. Somebody incredible wrote that for him. Almost as if, you know, they had to make it match him.
Match him, right.
Maybe he doesn't have the whole Will Smith thing going for him where he can channel...
See, that's what it is. I don't think he has the capability to rap like a great rapper. You know what I mean? So he's got to take great rappers' music and then he has to form them to what he's capable of doing in the booth.
Yeah, they mold it to his capacity.
Right.
So Puffy has had a lot of people write for him and he doesn't deny it. He clearly does not deny it. He's a good producer, I'll give him that, you know, but as a writer, he's not much of a writer. He's more of an entertainer. And that too is something that was an insight from my research in my conversation prior to this show. So we'll play a song for you where he clearly states that in one line and you're like, oh, now it makes a whole lot of sense that this man does not write his stuff. And he's a businessman, guys.
He's definitely a businessman.
So let's play this joint.
Big things. Check the hit list. How we twist shit. What changed with the name? We still here. You're rocking with the best. Don't worry if I write rhymes. I write checks. Who's the boss? Dudes is lost. Don't think cause I'm iced out, I'ma cool off. Who else but me? And if you don't feel me, that means you can't touch me. It's ugly.
All right, so there you have it, guys. Don't worry about writing rhymes. I write checks.
So basically, he's just telling you right there what it's all about.
Yes, that's what he does. He writes checks. He pays people. He produces. He's a businessman.
Right.
And you give him lines. I'll write you a check to write me a rhyme, basically.
Yeah.
And I will say whatever you write me.
Yeah.
But he doesn't hide it. Big ups to him. More power to him.
Right.
But he has a lot of different people who write for him. We can't exactly pinpoint that one. But if anybody knows that one, shoot us an email, tweet us, you know. Our Twitter is @offbeatmusicbox.
P. Diddy, Sean P. Diddy Combs, Puff Daddy. He is a national treasure. He writes rhymes, checks, whatever you want. But I know for a fact, Skills, we'll talk about. His name is Mad Skills. He would write a lot of music for P. Diddy. Royce da 5'9", who's friends with Eminem, who has an album with Eminem, who is on Slaughterhouse, a lyricist, dude. He even says he went to, he just left P. Diddy Studios and wrote half of his album. Now, it's way too hard to sound like Royce da 5'9". This dude's a lyrical mastermind, so he definitely has to write for P. Diddy and write it for his cadence, because you can't even, I don't think P. Diddy would ever be able to emulate anybody great like that.
Yeah, I think you have a good point there, that they write for P. Diddy's cadence versus
their own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Versus expecting him to fill their cadence, you know?
Exactly.
So that's a very interesting observation. I guess it goes that way too. Maybe that's why it's a little hard for us to pinpoint this one.
Right.
Is because he still sounds like Diddy no matter what.
He
always has this tone to him that
it's, yeah.
That's maybe that's why some people might think he writes his own stuff, because he doesn't really sound like anybody else.
Yeah.
Except for when you listen to the lyrics or whatever. Even then you're like, who does that sound like? It's
right.
Just, it's cheesy, and it is just him.
Unfortunately,
you know?
It is.
So, I mean, like, no offense to dude, but it's just, it I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's what he pays him to do, is to create his own facade and not,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So he doesn't get, so this type of stuff doesn't happen.
I would actually want to know if he's, like, even his producing, if he's, like, I know you executive produce, which means you put, you compose it, the album, to fit whatever you want. Like, is he doing the beats too? Because I don't even know what is he doing exactly.
You know, for a long time I thought he did beats. I thought he was a composer.
I did too, but then I found out no.
He's not?
That he's not making the beats. That, like, because I saw that reality show with those Danity Kane chicks, and he did no beats.
Oh my gosh. Well, did he do anything at the beginning of his career? I mean, with the music, with Bad Boy? Because I know he was a dancer, right?
He was
a dancer, and that's cool. But musically, I wonder if he just,
because what's the difference between a producer and an executive producer? What does the executive producer do what the producer doesn't? Because I know Dre's a producer, Timberland's a producer, but I've never actually seen
it might be
Diddy
the money man,
because make beats.
I like in film, executive producers are generally money people, but in television, they're actually the writers. And so there is a difference. I don't know in music, but if you talk about that, it seems like maybe it could be the same thing. The executive producers could be the money people, where they are the ones who control the master, you know, the master product, where don't like this song, take that out.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I think he does.
The investors, probably.
Okay, that makes sense.
Oftentimes, yeah, that it could be anything. But unfortunately, that's really all we want to say about Diddy. He's a little bit vast and vague in some ways, so it's hard to cover P. Diddy in one, you know, in one time slot for an artist. So, but there you have it. We just really wanted to scratch the surface and bring him up, because he's obvious, but then to some people they would never know that, because they just have, you know, because of his credibility and things like that. But he's also shameless about it. So
very shameless.
You know, give it to
the
man.
So at least he admits it. Much props to him for admitting it.
Before we close on Diddy, this just came to mind too, and the fact that he samples a lot of things, and we didn't talk about him in the samples because it was obvious that he sampled. We didn't want to bring up the obvious, but apparently in this show we're talking about the obvious. So maybe that's another thing that's interesting.
There's
a
theme about this guy. Is he just taking from everybody? What is he doing besides giving people money to create this? Yeah. I don't know. And then he's got a clothing design that just has his name on it. He has nothing to...
It's nothing, like, special.
What's he doing? He's just using his name.
That's a businessman.
But that's a businessman.
There you go.
If you could do everything by doing nothing, you're a damn genius.
Yes, so, exactly. I can respect...
We got to give him props for that.
I can respect him for that. Actually, we have a caller.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
It's our guest. Here you go.
Straight from Sacramento, California, we have a guest on.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you? Who are we talking to?
This is Eddie B. What's going down?
What's up, Eddie B? We had a conversation. This is Carol's brother. This is one of my best friends for years. One who kind of gave us a lot of knowledge when it came to music growing up. So we were talking about ghostwriters. We just left P. Diddy. I don't even know if you want to talk about this dude and all the ghostwriters he's had, but we wanted to talk to you about Lil Wayne and Gilly the Kid. Can you give us some information on?
Well,
how do you want to?
Before we do that, do you have any insight on P. Diddy? Anything else you want
to
add?
I think he gets a bad rap. He never came out to be an MC. He's just an entertainer.
Right.
So if we're talking about ghostwriting, he never really said he was a writer. So for me, it's not a bad thing for him to have a ghostwriter, because he already admitted it. and he's never trying to be a lyrical dude.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, so I mean, we got to expect what we can get from P. Diddy. Do you know, can you name off just a list of who ghost writ for P. Diddy?
There's been a lot of cats. Some said pretty much everyone who was signed with him wrote for him.
Right. So. Yeah. So you got Loon, Biggie.
Probably Shine, Biggie, of course. I mean, the list goes on. If you was on his song, you wrote that shit.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
Yeah, we played that snippet, too, that don't worry about writing rhymes, I write checks.
Real talk.
Yeah. We have come to a conclusion that he's a businessman.
He's definitely just, a businessman.
He's the face. You know, a lot of rappers are just faces now.
Right.
You know, look at Lil Bow Wow. Made millions of dollars, inspired a lot of young kids, and didn't write shit.
So who was his ghostwriter? The Brat?
Brat was writing for him. Jermaine Dupri was writing for him. It's probably some other cats, too. I wouldn't be surprised if Skills was writing for him a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I know for sure the Brat was.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And Jermaine Dupri.
And Jermaine. Okay, so did Master P have a ghostwriter?
Master P?
I know, he was horrible.
I don't know if he might have needed a ghostwriter.
He needed a ghostwriter, because I was just thinking about his lyrics. Because we used to listen to Master P's, that whole No Limit Camp was popular.
Back in the day.
Because I didn't know any better. I was like, well, everybody's listening to this. I'm a robot. I'm just going to listen to what they're listening to. I enjoyed a little bit of it, but I wondered who wrote for that dude. He definitely needed.
Well, I mean, he probably did it himself. But I will say this, he's a huge biter.
Yeah.
Because everything that was hot, he did. Lil Bow Wow came out, he had Lil Romeo.
That's right.
True.
I mean, no knock on Lil Romeo, but your dad was just using whatever was hot to sell.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, so from a business standpoint, he's smart.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, he probably still worth $200 million.
He seemed like he knew how to invest his money, too. Can we talk about that Lil Wayne, Jimmy the Kid, or do you want to get into that now?
No, let's get into it while we have Eddie on the line.
Because I've been hearing this dude's name. We're going to talk about Lil Wayne and how, you know, people consider him a lyrical genius, one of the top 10 best MCs. He's not on my list of best MCs, but he's considered on a new generation list of top MCs with Kendrick Lamar. And I keep hearing this dude, Gilly the Kid's name. Can you, like, speak on Lil Wayne's career and who's been writing for him?
When you look at it, it's the same way the kids look at some of these young players in the NBA.
Yeah.
They talk about Derrick Rose, one of the best point guards of all time, but he couldn't hold a candle to Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
So with that being said, a lot of these youngsters, they don't know hip-hop.
Right. They don't know the past.
But they're the biggest buyers of the music.
Right.
They spend the most money. Hip-hop working capital comes from these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. They're buying up everything. And I think, and then when they hear whatever's hot on the radio, they just go eat that stuff up. And, well, I mean, let's talk about Lil Wayne. Do you respect his lyrical game? And are those mostly his lyrics?
It's kind of, like I said, with ghostwriting, it's tough to determine if somebody wrote it or not unless the writer comes out and says it.
Yeah, and that's going to be
right
hard.
Right now, the only person who's actually came out and said he wrote for Wayne was Gilly the Kid.
Right.
I believe he was Philly's Most Wanted back in the day.
I remember that group.
Is there a song that we could play for our audience that, you know, for sure he wrote, and then we can play maybe one of his songs? He's an artist too, isn't he?
Yeah, so we can play with some of Gilly the Kid's verses and then compare it to maybe Lil Wayne.
Anything off the top of your head?
Probably not right off the top of my head, but if you go, the album you want to check is The Carter.
The first one?
The first Carter, because remember, Lil Wayne was not in a hip-hop conversation.
That's true.
He was wobbly, 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 wobbly dude.
That's right? True. See, this
bling,
is what
bling and all of that. He was never in a conversation of a lyrical
dude,
or any
right.
top lyricist or top five or anything.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
But when the Carter dropped and his whole rhyme scheme, his cadence, everything changed.
Yeah, that's true. Everything did change. Like he transitioned.
You could attribute that to growing up in the hip-hop, you know, because he started as a kid. So maybe as he developed into a man, he got skills.
Right.
But you can also attribute that to some of the stuff Gilly was saying.
Right.
When he said he kind of showed him what being a writer is.
That's interesting, man. And then it's weird to like, because then you're like, well, if Gilly the Kid showed him everything, where the fuck's Gilly the Kid? Sometimes musicians are so powerful, they can shut down an artist.
Not only that, not everybody who's a great writer can be a rapper.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Just because you can write lyrics don't mean you can put a song together.
Right.
I guess that's where these folks come in, like Will Smith, the entertainers, that, as you said, that's why they're there, you know?
That's true.
Hey, absolutely. Look at R&B. If you saw the guy who was writing all the stuff back in the day, you'd be like, this ugly dude is writing all these love songs. I'd rather have Usher sing it. But this ain't nothing new, man. Nobody questions Dre, and I don't think he's wrote anything since Straight Outta Compton.
And then, yeah, Dre, you can hear some of Jay-Z in that Chronic. You can hear some of Snoop in that Chronic. I mean, he morphs into all kinds of rappers on that album.
Absolutely. If you listen to the song with him and Kendrick Lamar.
That's what I wanted
to talk about. Which song?
You know Kendrick wrote that.
And Dre takes on Kendrick's whole flow and cadence, too.
Absolutely. That's how you know somebody else wrote it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, you know Dre is not no lyrical genius like that. I mean, in that song, you're like, damn, Dre flowed his ass off. But you're like, no. I mean, he did the words, but he didn't write that shit.
What work did he do?
I mean, he didn't. Dre did not write anything, though. Well, and I heard Snoop's hasn't been writing his stuff for a while.
Nah, Snoop don't write anymore. He even came out in an interview and said he's the ghost write for people, and now that he's older, he lets the young guys ghost write for him.
Is that a passing the torch kind of thing, or is just like a kind of a retirement thing?
Yeah.
Hell no, not as a true enthusiast.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
You're right.
I don't know, man.
You know, cause you don't let no other cat shoot your jump shot.
That's true.
Yeah.
You'll be like, yeah, you see how nice I am?
That's true. That's a beautiful way
to put it. I think the problem is hip-hop was built on the fact that this is how nice I am. Let me tell you how nice I am.
Yeah.
Right?
You can't brag and boast. Go ahead.
No, you're right. You can't brag on how nice I am.
Yeah.
That just don't sound right. Like, look at my man Simone. He got a nice car. He always in the bar. Whatever. All that's just whack.
Right.
You know what I mean? You never brag on your homeboy because you look like a sucker.
Right. Exactly.
But if I can brag about myself and have you say it, it sounds nice.
Exactly. Damn.
Yeah, so we were actually getting right into Dre because we were pretty much, you know, we can talk about that. I guess that Lil Wayne might be a little bit vast and vague too, kind of like the P. Diddy stuff.
Right. But with Dre, we can definitely...
Dre...
You can actually hear it. Like, you can hear Still Dre. You can definitely hear who wrote for him because he becomes that dude in the damn song.
Yeah, like, all of this is such a surprise to me, and I'm going to have to admit that, like, just learning this stuff. I know we talked the other day, Eddie, and it's kind of like it's turning me off a little bit, you know, because you feel like every time we uncover these layers,
yeah,
I'm beginning to feel like I'm being conned more and more. I mean, is that wrong of me to feel that way?
No, but you're being conned with everything, though, in society.
That's
got
true.
You believing that tennis shoes should cost $200.
Right.
You know?
Do you have $200 shoes in your trunk right now?
Yeah.
It's funny that you said that because I just left the mall. But we're talking hip hop. Leave me alone.
Yeah, well.
No, but go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. You're fine.
I was just saying, you know, when you look at the beginning stages of hip hop, there was a ghostwriter. Grandmaster Caz wrote for Big Bang Hate. And that was Rapper's Delight,
Damn. Which
was like one of the first mainstream hip-hop songs. You cut that on in a white club, and they'll all be a hip-hop, and you don't stop. You know, so it's whatever the buyer wants, they're going to give. But that's what the game does. If you want to sell records, You got to wash it up. That's Look at the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
I was a Black Eyed Peas fan.
Before Fergie came.
When Before Fergie, man.
Yeah, that first album.
Right. Wow. We Be Falling Up.
Yeah.
That was my joint.
Yeah, yeah.
That dude, was and that was an underground
all the time, right?
Yeah, and that was an underground hip hop classic, man.
Man, now Will I Am tried to mac my wife. But that's another conversation.
This is true. I mean,
yeah, that's a whole nother conversation.
I'm not saying I don't love you as my brother-in-law, Eddie.
That'd have been your new brother-in-law? Uh-oh. No.
But, hey, the difference between me and Will I Am is the bank account and looks. He got the money, I got the looks.
There you go.
But if you look at that, they were better making true hip-hop songs prior to Fergie.
That's
right.
But they put that white girl in the mix, and they got album sales.
And they got album sales. Do you know anything about, we were talking about ghost producers, and I was reading in the source a while back, and it said the man behind the scenes for Dre, and his name was Mailman or something. He was a producer that did a lot of the beats on The Chronic. Did you remember anything about a producer that Dre worked with that didn't get no shine?
Yeah, there's been a few producers. Daz the Dillinger did a lot of production on the first Chronic too.
Yeah, that's right.
On the second Chronic, it was a dude named Battle Cat.
I remember Battle Cat.
I think we had a conversation before, like if you made a beat, I heard it, and I said, you know what, I need to change this, change that, and change this. It becomes a new beat.
Right.
So I can say it's mine.
Yeah.
So technically, did I make the beat? No, but I put my stamp on it. So technically, it's not mine,
right?
But I can claim it. You know, hip-hop came up about a guy writing his struggles and all of that stuff. So the original core of hip-hop was lyricists.
Right, exactly.
It became rap.
Yeah.
It was hip-hop, and it became rap. The whole ghostwriter thing is so much speculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee unless somebody says, I wrote it, here's the original, and I recorded it, here's the date, and I sold it to him on this date. Mm. And you can prove that, and you could.
Can I ask you this? How would you feel if Dead Prez wrote for Nas on one of his albums? Would you feel betrayed? Or?
Real talk.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of hurt because I'm a Nas fan. So, but I think what my problem is with hip-hop is the fact that you got these guys claiming they're lyricists and somebody else is writing for them.
Yeah, I think that's
what I have a problem with.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what this topic is about and why we wanted to talk about it, is that's the difference, you know?
KRS-One put it best. I believe he said, rap is something you do, hip-hop is something you live.
Thank you. Yeah, lifestyle.
Totally.
And hobby.
Yeah.
So do you knock the rapper for rapping somebody else's life?
I don't respect it, but I can't knock it. You know what I mean? Like, it's entertainment. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
Hold on. There's an earthquake right now. Hold on real quick, brother. We were just talking about earthquakes. Should we get up?
Hang on.
Damn, there's been a lot lately.
It's still rolling.
Should we go in the doorway? How come the dogs? I thought dogs are supposed to bark when there's an earthquake.
It's still rolling.
Is the dog barking?
No.
It was settled.
Trade her in.
Trade her in, right? She's her senses are fucked up.
Stop it. That's
your
niece.
You gonna get us killed.
That's your niece. She said that's your niece. Hey, there's an earthquake going on right now.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, we'll be right back.
All
right,
I'll call back later.
Okay, well, hold on. We can wrap it up with
we'll wrap it up with this one. And then we're going to go.
So give us your final thoughts shelter. On Ghostwriters.
I think some people need them.
Yeah.
So, I think you need them. I think as far as hip hop is concerned, I wouldn't want you to have one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But you got to feed your family.
Thank you, man. In closing arguments, we do need ghostwriters then.
I think if we knew everyone who used a ghostwriter,
we would shit.
It'd probably blow your mind.
I know.
Man,
it's
totally.
Already blowing my mind. This whole thing is mind blowing as it is. So it's crazy. Just the whole cadence thing you were talking about with the Will Smith and Rakim. Like, I talked to Simone about that earlier. We played it earlier, and it's mind-blowing. Now I'm going to listen to music differently.
You got to.
But
see, the key word to that is you actually listening to music.
Right.
Right.
Thank you for calling us, Eddie, and giving us some really valuable insight on ghostwriters and you know, your opinion is very much appreciated.
All right, EB.
Y'all have a good one. Be safe. God bless.
You too.
Bye bye. That was Eddie B.
That was a good surprise.
Yeah, good surprise. We couldn't get him earlier. He wasn't available, but he surprised us anyway and gave us a call, which we appreciate his time and his knowledge and his wisdom. And he's definitely been very insightful to us. And let's get back on track. He did give us something really interesting to kind of revert back to about the Lil Wayne stuff. At the beginning of Lil Wayne's career, it was all about bling bling and all that stuff with Cash Money. And then either he grew up as a writer and became a better lyricist, or he was ghostwritten for, as we mentioned, by... Right. What's his name? Little Gilly?
Gilly the Kid.
Gilly the Kid, excuse me.
Yeah. Little Gilly. How are you doing? Gilligan's Island.
Little Wayne, I just combined them. But we're going to play that song for you. We're actually going to play his older stuff and then play you something from the Carter, just so you can have...
And we're a little giggly because there was just another earthquake.
Yeah.
And we were just, I don't know if we jinxed ourselves, but that was interesting.
Yeah. It kind of took us by surprise. We weren't sure if we should keep rolling or duck and dive.
Right.
But here we are. We're okay, though, guys. We got right back on the mic. So... let's play this Lil Wayne and give you a little contrast. So you better watch what you play with, cause the boys will try to flip y'all and hit y'all, jam y'all and put a to your jug. Catch your breath, now catch a stub. It's street smarts, plenty riders that keep sparks when the heat starts. Ain't nobody got sweethearts, stolen weak shots. You can come try to cheat, talk, we cut your weak shots. Them little boys don't give a damn, go all out for the kick, don't hesitate to kill a man. Run in his house, but take the bus, they have a million uppercuts, got a million duffled up for the fuck of it. Shit, get on my level, you can't get on my level. You will need a space shuttle or a ladder, that's forever. However, I'm better, if not now, then never. Don't you ever fix your lips unless you about to suck my dick, bitch. Swallow my words, taste my thoughts, and if it's too nasty, spit it back at me. 2 more inches out of in that casket, according to the... All right, that's a little bit of Lil Wayne for ya.
I mean, his whole cadence, I don't really appreciate either genre of Lil Wayne, from his old stuff to his new stuff, but you can definitely tell he's had some help with his newer stuff.
Yeah.
Or life and tribulations and money will probably change your way of rapping too.
Maybe. I don't know.
What was your thing about when you heard the older stuff when he first came out compared to his, like, Carter 1 and 2?
I don't know. Respectfully, I don't think I was never much of a Lil Wayne fan. I'm still not. I mean, there's a few things I don't mind listening to, but I definitely think that there's more something the writing is definitely better.
It improved.
It's improved drastically, even if it's on the same subject matter.
Lollipop.
It's
done in a better way.
It is done in a tastier way.
The ratchetness has conformed into...
Unintended. So good with puns.
Man, she's on fire. Oh, another pun. The block is hot. Carol is hot.
It is. All right, so that was Lil Wayne, because we just wanted to touch on what Eddie was talking about.
And then, I think we should get into Dre again with a song by Dre with Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is known to have ghostwritten this song,
Ghostwritten.
The Watcher, for Dr. Dre, right? And he's on this song too?
Yeah. So he wrote The Watcher, and then he had The Watcher 2, which was on one of Jay-Z's albums.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's play that.
Okay.
Pull out gauges. It's every time you let the animal out cages. It's dangerous to people who look like strangers. But now we got a new era of gangsters, hustlers, and youngsters living amongst us. Looking at us now, calling us busters. Can't help but reminisce back when it was us.
I was hitting the turnpike, I ate with the bamers. I was nice with my hands, cause I ate with them hammers. I was pricking my finger for you knew where the fan was. I had it laid out for you knew where the plan was. 300 mil later, now you understand us. You ain't see us coming to Vegas, you ever seen so much sham busting one night, grand fucked up one fight. I was on a Peter Pan bus. You was putting Peter Pan up in your room. Y'all fucking with whom? Allow me to retort.
So that was The Watcher, Dr. Dre, ghostwritten by Jay-Z.
Carol, could you tell?
Could I tell? I think much like the stuff we played earlier, the whole Nas stuff, I started to kind of just listen to the lyrics, and then I started to hear the voice of the person behind the music, behind the song, and I could totally hear, like, Jay-Z all over that, the delivery, everything, the way he would say it. I'm like, that really is Jay-Z. And then the other one we played was the Jay-Z's version.
Right.
The Watcher 2, which is on his album, The Blueprint, right?
Right, correct.
And I think that one came out after, obviously part two, you know, mm-hmm. so he took that and put his own spin on something he actually
he liked it so much, right?
He put his own spin on something he actually did.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy, right?
And I love Dre's verse actually on there, and I never knew that Jay-Z had written it until not too long ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can really realize why you like that song now, and you're like, and think back, like, that was an amazing song. Of course Jay-Z wrote it.
Yeah, somebody you actually really like was behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense, and
makes me think that maybe Eddie's right and that some rappers should do it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think it still goes back to, you know, claiming that it's yours.
Right. You know what I think Jay-Z did? I think he put that out to let you know he wrote that.
Maybe. You're right. It could have been a subliminal message, huh?
Right.
Huh.
Because he starts it off kind of similar to Dre's verse. If you listen to the beginning of that Jay-Z, it's like an extension of that song.
You're right. I never even thought
of it. And it was kind of a way like, I think hearing the second one let me know. I was like, wait a minute. I went back and did my research. And it's like, oh, they sound similar, mm-hmm. even though they're two different people, Dre, right. I was like, yeah, that's why I got that whole
interesting
connection there.
Yeah, Rakim is on the Jay-Z version.
And we were just talking about Rakim, too. So
I know.
Everything's coming together.
Always. The earthquake, and then it happened.
And then Eddie calling, and then we know each other from Eddie now.
I know. Things are just coming full circle. I think this whole thing is about full circle. Because
the
way I started this show is the way I'm ending, because I feel like I'm still kind of conflicted about the whole idea about ghostwriters.
Right.
You know, and I don't think I got anything resolved today in our conversation.
Yeah.
But we just went around in a circle.
That was full circle.
Yeah, full circle episode. That's what it
is. Are we going to talk about that song, Something Happened?
Yes.
With a Kendrick Lamar song.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to close with this, actually.
We're going to close with this. So I think maybe we should have a dialogue about this and then let you experience what we felt. So we were looking and doing research, and we wanted to hear some of Kendrick Lamar and Dre's music together, where Dre is spitting on Kendrick's verse.
And we only picked Kendrick Lamar because he's known to have written for Dre as well.
He did a song called Pyrex.
Pyrex.
And it's called, and then in parentheses, it's Alive.
Yeah.
The song's called Pyrex. It was leaked in 2013. I think it was supposed to be on the album, never was. I don't even know if this song was even finished or if it was like practice for him, but he goes back and forth, and I don't know if he repeats himself, but the beat is crazy. There's different things that Kendrick is doing within the song, and we listened to it two times.
Back to back.
And we were just staring at the phone, right? Because we listened to it on YouTube, so go check it out on YouTube. And we're just staring at the phone trying to figure out what the hell this song is.
Yeah, and you know what? The beat is pretty killer, man. It's a super, super cool beat. And I think it's very, it puts you in a trance. It put us in a trance. We realized that after coming out, and it freaked us out because, you know, the beat was hypnotic. And that too is a pun, because Dr. Dre's album wasn't it Hypnotic? Didn't he have a song called Hypnotic?
He had a song called Hypnotic.
Yes, there you go. All puns and full circles.
Yeah.
But the way he does his song, he like comes in, like it's almost like a studio session where he comes in, he doesn't like what he did, he just goes right back into it and repeats himself and changes things a little. But there's even a small part in there where I thought he kind of sounded like Eminem.
Yeah.
But I think the point is, once we came out of this, the second time we listened to it, we looked at each other like, what the hell?
Something happened, though.
We just experienced. It almost feels like, I thought it was kind of this repetitious brainwashing.
That's so what I got weird out of it. It took you, like, we were just staring at the phone, and it takes you to a place, I don't know where I was at, though.
Yeah.
But nothing else mattered, and just that song.
Let us know what you think about
please.
It. Let us know if it puts you in that weird trance.
I would
was just
love
us
to
tripping.
Hear. Yeah,
and maybe you're biased now. Maybe because we set you up. Put what we set aside and experience it for yourself, and shoot us an email, offbeatpod, shortforpodcast@gmail.com, or hit us on our Twitter at offbeatmusicbox is our handle. The song itself is a little off topic, but it's in relation because Kendrick Lamar. We were looking for it because we
couldn't lose the opportunity.
Kendrick Lamar
writing
for Dre, and then we ran into that song.
And we couldn't let this.
And then the other thing too, we were talking about It's Alive, right?
Yeah.
How he says it's alive, and it's almost as if Dr. Frankenstein. And it's hypnotic, and it's actually a smart song.
Smart song, but he's throwing some subliminal things in there.
Yeah, I think they're planting seeds for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, okay. We'll let you go now. We don't want to hold you too long.
All right.
Thank you for sitting through. Thank you for tuning in and experiencing that little rumble and shake with us.
Yeah, that little LA quake. Man.
Thank you, Eddie, for calling in. We appreciate you. Until next time, I'm Carol K.
And I'm Simone.
Stay offbeat, guys.
Do it.
Run it back. I rap with a Pyrex and a project. I'm cracking a pot, I'm a prospect. I'm a bike rat on a dock full of dope. I can dissect any rapper. You can vote for the Loch Ness. You cannot test no king in a Tesla. Bitch, I ride like a freight train parked outside. And my young niggas came with the
hell.
I'm an old dude,
and
I say that hard.
I don't know, it's bothering me though.
I rap with a Pyrex and a project. I'm cracking a pot, I'm a prospect. I'm a bike rat on a dock full of dope. I can dissect. It's a lie. Rap with a Pyrex and a project. I'm cracking a pot, I'm a prospect. I'm a bike rat on a dock full of dope. I can dissect.